In the holy name of Jesus. I find it rather striking that it's only at the conclusion of the Passion account that we discover that there actually were some faithful followers of Jesus. The disciples have all fled. Peter tagged along after Jesus' arrest, only to fall headlong into the trap of which Jesus had warned him. And the religious leaders, those who should have been the most avid defenders of the Christ, they were the ones who thirsted most for his death. But now, at the end of the story, we learn that not everyone has fallen away. For example, there are the women, several of whom we even have names that are given. The same names we'll hear on Easter morn when the resurrection of Jesus is proclaimed. They tarried to the bitter end, not shirking from the agony that Jesus endured, and even lingered to see the place where he was buried. There's Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the Jewish council, and as Mark tells us, one who was looking for the kingdom of God, meaning that he was a follower of Jesus. From the gospel according to St. Luke, we learn that Joseph had not consented to these accusations that had been hurled against Jesus. With all that had happened in the previous 24 hours, it must have taken great courage on Joseph's part to approach Pilate with such a bold request. I can only imagine that criminals who were crucified by the Romans seldom had friends or relatives who were much interested in arranging for a proper burial. But Joseph was there. And finally, there's the nameless centurion. A soldier simply doing his duty, maybe enjoying it at first a little too much. For all we know, he may have taken part in the casting of lots for Jesus' cloak earlier that day. Maybe he even won the bet. But now, having witnessed the crucifixion, the death, how Jesus breathed his last, the centurion can only speak the truth that he now knows that this was the Son of God. There is one other individual we ought to consider, Simon of Cyrene. Here was a pilgrim in Jerusalem for the Passover. Imagine his confusion as he suddenly plucked from the crowd by the Roman soldiers. I doubt that they said, "Please." You have to wonder what he thought when he first laid his eyes on Jesus, all bloodied and beaten, thorns pressing into his scalp, blood running down. What could this man have possibly done to deserve this? Though not by choice, Simon bears the cross in Jesus' stead. The great irony, of course, is that at that very moment, Jesus, though too weak to carry that splinter-laden cross, was actually carrying a much heavier load, your sins and mine, and the sins of the whole world. On him was laid the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. Perhaps you notice that in today's reading, Jesus spoke only once. From the other gospel accounts, we know that there were other things that he said while hanging from the cross. Yet St. Mark records only one phrase, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's as if St. Mark wants to bring into sharp relief the full depth of our Lord's suffering, so that there is no question as to the awful cost of this sacrifice. This is what I deserve because of my rebellion against God, to be utterly forsaken by him. That was the agony that he bore for all humanity, for the thieves hanging on either side of him, for the soldiers who drove the nails into his hands and feet, for the religious leaders whose envy of Jesus knew no bounds, for Pilate and his spineless defense of the innocent, for the disciples and their cowardly loyalty to the teacher they had all sworn they would die with, and for you, his present-day disciples, who long to love him and serve him. He is your Savior, your Lord, your friend. So run to him, trusting that he who did all this for you will continue to work in you as you take up your cross, following him, and as he lives in you, working all that is pleasing in his sight. In the holy name of Jesus.